All right. So, now, as per usual, for those who may not know, we've adopted a new format here for our services, and on a monthly basis, every four weeks, we break up after having a quick summary of what we've learned for the last 3 weeks. We break up into groups and we have a study session. And the feedback so far seems to be that it's quite a good thing. We're able to get a bit more into the chapters and bring out some of those things that perhaps are glossed over really quickly in the regular services. So we'll do the same thing this morning. We'll probably break up into three groups this morning, I think. We're going to be looking at, of course, Matthew 10 and 11, because that's what we've been working on the last 3 weeks. But before we do all that, the children have given us a great example of how to sing, and we should follow that, I think, and get warmed up this morning with some old songs and new songs.
Okay. Thank you, Ben. Well, if you'd all like to stand up, we'll sing a few songs to start with. And the first one that we have is King of Majesty.
Distractions in this world.
God, which is what a beautiful name.
Indeed, lovely to hear all the voices up the front. Many of these songs are the ones that the kids know from school, so that's really a nice thing that they've got that connection at their church as well. Now, before we actually get into this morning's summary, as I mentioned before, study week this week, we're going to break into groups a little bit later, but before we get to that, we're going to actually have a bit of a summary of the key points and perhaps the themes that have come out in the last 3 weeks as we've looked through Matthew chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 11. Now, with everybody moved out, all the children off to Sunday school, we'll open this morning and I'll repeat the Lord's Prayer from Luke chapter 11, if you'd like to bow your heads. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Right, so still working through Matthew. Now, you know, when you don't get through a chapter a week, it takes a little while to get through a book, you find. And certainly we started at Christmas, and we even took a bit of a break because we'd looked at the Sermon on the Mount in previous years, and so we skipped over a few chapters. And even now, as we, I won't say winter's coming upon us, but certainly autumn's well and truly here. We're still only up to Matthew chapter 10 and 11. So let's have a look at what we learned over the last 3 weeks. So we saw in Matthew chapter 10, we saw the assembly of the core ministry team, I guess you could say, Jesus's missionaries out there to the lost of the tribes of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as he said. He sort of puts he names this group. We had a bit of a quiz, and I think everybody did pretty well, I remember. But he grants grants these 12 disciples the power to perform miracles, instructing them to go out and to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand, to pack light and rely on God's provision. Now, of course, there were some interesting instructions that we're going to look at a little bit later. So, you know, with the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the fact that he was sent there first. He sent his group there first. And interesting as well that he sort of instructs them to, I guess, go and establish themselves in these cities for a brief period of time and bring the Spirit, as we saw, the Spirit of peace with them to these places. And so we see in verse 13, if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to it. So it's interesting, there was always this, you know, contention, I guess you could say, wherever the disciples went preaching the good news, as we think it is. But obviously not everybody thought that way. We also found it was a bit of a dangerous business. It was really a sheep among wolves type of situation. Instructed the disciples to be as harmless as doves and wise as serpents. And basically he warned them. He warned them that they would be scourged, they would be hated, persecuted, verbally abused, threatened even with death. But but there is also, as with all of these sorts of things, there is always a promise that the provision of God and the care of God is going to be there. And he referred to the two sparrows that were offered for a farthing or a cent. And one of them won't fall to the ground without the Father. So in other words, the Lord knows everything that is going to happen. And he is going to look after each and every one of us in every situation. And so while the warning was there that the good news wouldn't be received with joy by all people, and that really, when you think about it, Christian morality is a divisive thing. It's quite a, you know, it is, because it stakes a claim and says, this is the way it must be, immediately it creates a separation, I guess you could say, of those that actually say, yes, I agree with that, and those that don't. So I guess one verse a couple of verses that we thought of that would sort of bolster that at and support what Jesus was saying there is also recorded in John 15. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And so we see that, and we even see that, I think you could say we even see that these days, certainly even in Australia, where the foundations of our nation, even though they were on Christian values, and many of the forms of the of our nation, or things that have been established in our nation, have been done by the churches or groups that were affiliated with the churches. We see the society turning their back and actually rejecting a lot of those values. Now, as we moved into Matthew 11, the disciples, I guess at this point, perhaps the disciples have actually gone out to do their ministry or their mission. There is a time an occasion where we hear of them actually coming back again. But John the Baptist, as we know, is in prison. In fact, John the Baptist goes to prison, and then that's really where Jesus picks up and begins his ministry, when John the Baptist kind of is taken away. Now, there is a question put at the beginning of chapter 11 here by John. He sends his disciples over to Jesus, and he says to his disciples, just go and ask Jesus if he is the one that we should be looking for, or if there is another one. And Jesus actually proposes a very interesting answer. He doesn't just turn around and say, yes, I am. He says, go and tell John all of these things. He says that the blind see, the lame walk, the gospel is preached unto the poor. You know, and what he's doing there is he's using the verses from the Old Testament or the scriptures to actually back up his ministry. Now in Isaiah 3 to 6, is the one that Jesus is particularly referring to at that time. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are fearful of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. I thought it was interesting that Isaiah 35 references the wilderness and the streams of the desert, considering that that's kind of where John the Baptist spent most of his time growing up. But anyway, interesting. So Jesus uses the examples of his ministry to actually confirm that he is definitely the one. He then goes on to say that John the Baptist was the Elias that was to come, according to the prophecies of the Old Testament. And he also compares some of the unbelieving cities with places like Sodom and Gomorrah, and even Capernaum with the fall of Satan, which is pretty hard, that's for sure. At the end of Matthew chapter 11 there, we see just a very short prayer of thanks. And I think it's interesting, he's thankful to God that Jesus prays to God that his prayer of thanks to say that he's thankful that the mystery of this salvation is given unto everybody, not just the wise. He's revealed it unto babes. And I think the interesting thing is that if we look back a couple of chapters in Matthew 9, and it's actually a reference to Hosea 6:6, he charges the Pharisees and the leaders of the day. He says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. So we see here that there is a bit of a mystery that was really missed by the Pharisees or the leaders of the day. They thought they were so holy. They thought they had everything worked out. And yet here comes Jesus, the very embodiment of the instructions and the word of God, and they missed it. You know, they really missed the whole essence of what the Bible is about, which is the glory of God through his mercy to us as insignificant people or sinful people. Then, of course, he finishes chapter 11 with some promises, I guess, also a bit of a call out to all mankind here, where he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I think really, you know, what we find here is that there is a rest. There is a rest for us, for all of mankind, for all those that trust in the salvation of Jesus Christ, but also look to the word of God for the glories to come there as well. And I thought it rather fitting that we sort of finish today's summary with Psalm 23 while we think about this rest. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's a memory verse that each of us should know by heart, because you're going to need it. Anyway, so that's where we're going to leave it this morning with the summary from those two chapters. We're now going to break into three groups. I think we'll... Now, you right to take one of these, Tim. Dad, do you want to take one? I'll probably take one as well. Usually we have somebody out there, one group out under the trees out there, two in here. I don't know. Where do you guys want to go? Yeah, okay, all right. Dad will be at the front here. Yes. Anyway, just before I let you go, though, I think the verse for this week to leave with everybody is from Matthew 11, of course, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So back to normal as per usual next week, church 11:30. And we'll begin on Matthew chapter 12. All right, have a great week.